the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God. Singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Saul of Tarsus, Saul who shall become the leader in Israel, Saul who does all that he does with his entire mind, body, and soul. What can I do for the soon-to-be great Saul of Tarsus?
His Highness is most gracious.
Oh, not at all. You are destined to be great. All the priests and rulers admit and recognize this.
Perhaps you will change your mind when I get through talking, Your Highness.
Oh, talk, my son, all you wish. Talking does no harm, or good either, for that matter. What's on that brilliant mind of yours?
Doubt, Highness.
Well, now, doubt takes in a lot of territory. Doubt about the weather, sun, moon, stars. Doubt about yourself, me, the earth, God. Doubt about what, my son?
Well, Your Highness, before I came in here, I had no fears of speaking right up, but now I seem to be hesitant to tell you.
You seek sympathy and advice?
Advice, Your Highness.
I'm old, my son. I've had a world of experience. You can rely on what I will tell you.
Oh, I have no doubts whatsoever on your advice, Your Highness. It's me.
You doubt yourself?
The work I'm doing.
You mean that... No, you couldn't mean that. You were too zealous and vigilant to doubt the rightness of persecuting the deluded followers of Jesus of Nazareth, aren't you?
Not always, Your Highness.
Why?
Several reasons. The experience with Stephen at his trial and stoning. It seemed to me that God's presence was with him. How can this be if he was working against God? It perplexes me. It's kept me awake many nights.
This is surprising. I had no idea that such thoughts invaded your mind. You do need help. You need convincing. Shall I call together Caiaphas and the temple priests and rulers to talk with you? I'll assure you, though, that what I say to you reflects the opinions of others. My advice is theirs.
I don't think I want to talk to them.
Have you the slightest doubt that... what I shall say is truth?
I am sure that His Highness would speak only truth.
This new faith is founded upon Jesus of Nazareth. So let's start with him. He was born of a poor and unstable family. Would God permit his son to be born of such parents?
It doesn't seem so, does it?
Of course not. Also, Jesus himself said that he had nothing. No, not so much as a place to lay his head. The Son of God owns everything. He created all things. Now, if Jesus were the Son of God, he couldn't truthfully have said he had nothing.
He couldn't, could he?
It has been said that the Sanhedrin did not give Jesus a fair trial. We tried to be fair with him, but he wouldn't cooperate. We went so far as to beg him to say something in his own defense, but he would not say a word. We had only one choice, to find him guilty.
He must have been afraid to testify.
No doubt of it. Every word would have been additional proof of his blasphemy.
Actually, wasn't Jesus crucified because the people chose him instead of Barabbas?
Yes. God was kind to us. God caused this to happen so it could not be said that we condemned Jesus and put him to death. It was the people.
Yet the disciples and their followers claim that you priests and rulers are responsible.
I know. You see how unfair and untruthful they are, blaming God's own representatives for murder, blasphemy.
But how about his resurrection? They say they have proof and witnesses to substantiate his resurrection.
The biggest fallacy ever perpetrated against the human race. Take my word for it, my son. We have proved times innumerable that Jesus was not resurrected. We have questioned and re-questioned all the witnesses, except, of course, the disciples themselves. And there is such a wide difference of opinion that none of it can possibly be true. If he was resurrected, where is he now? Common knowledge and human perception dictates that Jesus raising himself from the dead is impossible. Therefore, Stephen and Peter and John, Philip, all of these who preach the resurrection and the divinity of Jesus of Nazareth are blasphemers. Those of us who administer in holy office here at the temple are true representatives of God.
Peter and John and Philip. They seem so sincere.
Deluded fanatics, that's all, my son.
My confidence in you, Your Highness, is still strong. Thank you very much.
Well, come again, my son, anytime. It does seem that your tenure of office has been beset by setbacks. Beset by setbacks. I like the sound of that. Beset by setbacks.
It is not humorous.
Well, the truth never is.
It is time, I think, that we should work in cities other than Jerusalem.
Well,
possibly Damascus.
There's a lot of activity there. People are joining a new faith by the thousands.
I'll talk to the elders and see if we can't find someone to go up there and persecute the followers of Jesus. You may come forward, Saul of Tarsus. Yeah. Congratulations, by the way, for being elected to the Sanhedrin. I knew you would.
Thank you, Your Highness.
And congratulations also for the vigorous manner in which you have harassed the believers in Jesus. Many of them have left Jerusalem for fear of you and your vigilant and stern persecution.
That is bad, Your Highness.
Bad?
The believers are going everywhere preaching their new doctrine. It would have been better had they been confined to Jerusalem.
I hadn't thought of it quite like that, but it's true. Literally, we are responsible for that doctrine going to all parts of the world.
I am, and that is why I have come to offer to go to Damascus.
Huh?
I hear you're looking for someone.
Yes. Yes, you're just the one. You'll put a quick stop to it there.
Captain, there it is, Damascus. Oh, it's larger than I expected, and it certainly reposes in a beautiful oasis. Gardens, fruitful orchards, watered by cool streams from the nearby mountains.
Just the view is refreshing after that long journey through desolate wastes.
Well, call a halt. We'll rest while viewing beautiful Damascus below.
Halt! We rest here!
It's a bright light. It's brighter than the sun.
Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?
Who are you, Lord?
I am Jesus, whom you persecute.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He must be the Son of God. He must be the Son of God. 'Cause he spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? 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 He spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He must be the Son of God. He must be the Son of God. 'Cause he spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? 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 He
spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling. And he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing. And he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this?
He must be the Son of God. He must be the Son of God.
'Cause he spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling. And he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing. And he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He must be the Son of God.
Dora, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you pray?
Well, of course. Everyone prays.
I don't.
You don't pray?
Well, I try, but I don't know what to say. I mean, you're supposed to talk to the creator of the entire universe, the God who made everything. Why would he be interested in little old me?
I used to think the very same thing, but then I remembered something.
What?
He also made me. So I figure if he went through all the trouble of giving me my silly nose and these totally strange ears, he should at least listen when I complain about them.
And your knees. You've got the craziest knees.
Thank you. I get the picture.
So you figure that God listens to you because of the way you look?
I figure God listens to me because I'm different from everyone else in the world. I'm special, unique. If he took the time to make me the way I am, he must be interested in what I do and what I think, because what I do and what I think is special too.
Okay, I get it. When you talk to God, you know he hears you because your prayer is different from anyone else, just like you're different from anyone else, right?
Yeah, that's right. My words are special to him. At least, that's what I like to think.
You know, there are special things about me too. I've got red hair, and my mouth is kind of crooked.
God would recognize you anywhere.
Cool. The next time I pray, I'll know he's listening because he made me special.
Don't forget your elbow. It's totally strange.
Got it.
And your left eyebrow. What's up with that?
Can we talk about something else now?
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Loves me this boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story shows you how great it is to have a pet and how sad it can be when a pet disappears. While Jenny and her friend Natalie search for clues about what happened to Butterscotch, Jenny learns some important lessons about forgiveness. Chapter 4, Looking for Clues. By Monday morning, Butterscotch still hadn't come home. As far as they were able to tell, neither had Shorty. Jenny watched her mom sadly spoon Butterscotch's special diet into the trash because it was starting to stink up the refrigerator. Her eyes wandered over to the shelf where she kept Butterscotch's brush. There were a few cat hairs stuck in the bristles, but she didn't want to clean it out. Right now, that fur was all she had left of Butterscotch. "Are you going to eat that?" Natalie asked at lunchtime. "Huh?" Jenny said. "Your apple. Are you going to eat it?" Jenny sighed. "No, you can have it." Food just didn't taste good anymore. Natalie took the apple and bit into it with a big crunch. "This is a good apple," she said, trying to talk around the big bite. She chewed for a while, then set the apple down. "Aren't you ever going to smile again?" Jenny shrugged her shoulders. "I don't know. Maybe someday when I grow up." "I have an idea," Natalie said. "Why don't we search around your house for clues? We can find Butterscotch. I know we can." Jenny brightened a little. "Do you think so?" she asked hopefully. Natalie thumped Jenny on the back. "Sure we can. I'll meet you at your house after school tonight, okay?" Jenny nodded. "Okay." That afternoon, she waited impatiently at the end of her driveway for Natalie to change her clothes and meet her. Finally, just when Jenny was about to go look for her, Natalie burst out of her front door and ran over. "Sorry," she panted breathlessly. "My mom wanted me to help her fold some clothes before I left." She searched her pockets for something. "But look what my dad let us borrow," she continued, pulling a big magnifying glass out of her pocket. She held it up to her eye. Jenny jumped. The magnifying glass made Natalie's eye look huge. The giant eye blinked at her. "What do you think?" Natalie asked. "Wow," Jenny said. "What do we do with it?" "Look for clues, of course," Natalie replied. She began looking carefully at the grass around the driveway. "Didn't you say that Butterscotch ran across the lawn and then down the road?" Jenny nodded. "Yes." She thought back to the awful night. "I heard this horrible squeal, and then I saw Butterscotch run across the yard with Shorty right behind her. They ran behind the cars and then down the street." She fought back tears. "Then that truck roared by. When it squealed to a stop, I just knew she was going to be hit." Natalie pretended she didn't notice that Jenny was almost crying. "But she wasn't, right? At least you didn't find her on the street. Come on, I think we should start here." Jenny followed along behind Natalie, who was crawling through the grass on the lawn toward the driveway. She pushed the grass to the side, trying to see little cat prints in the dirt. Suddenly, Natalie stopped. She held the magnifying glass almost on the dirt. "Aha," she said, "look at this." Jenny crawled up beside her. "Cat prints," she said excitedly. "What did I tell you?" Natalie said happily. She examined the prints closely. "It almost looks like she was jumping toward the driveway." "But how do we know that Butterscotch made these prints that night and not some other time?" Jenny asked. "She loves chasing grasshoppers. Maybe she was jumping after one of them." "I don't know," Natalie admitted, "but we know she made these prints sometime." Jenny sat back in the grass and tried not to look unhappy. "How are we ever going to find Butterscotch this way?" Natalie sighed and plopped down beside her. "I don't know, but we aren't going to find her by moping around in your room." "Jenny," Mrs. Wallace called, "would you come here a minute?" Jenny trotted to the house. Her mother handed her a stack of papers and some thumbtacks. "Here, honey, I made some posters saying that Butterscotch is missing and where to call if someone finds her. Why don't you go put them up around the neighborhood?" Jenny threw her arms around her mother. "Thanks, Mom," she said. Then she turned. "Come on, Natalie, Mom had a great idea." They circled slowly around the block. "Did anyone have a reason to steal Butterscotch?" Natalie asked as she pushed a tack into a sign on a telephone pole. "I don't think so," Jenny replied, counting out the number of posters they had left. She pointed to the next pole. "Let's put one over there." But before she had taken two steps, a thought hit her. "Wait," she said suddenly, stopping so fast that Natalie ran into her with a little grunt. "When that truck stopped, the driver got out and ran around to the front. I thought he was just making sure that he hadn't hit Butterscotch or Shorty. But what if he stole them?" Natalie's eyes got big. "He could have. What kind of truck was it?" Just then, a voice interrupted them. "Excuse me, girls." It was Mrs. Norton, a woman who lived a few houses down the street. "Are you looking for your pet?" Jenny and Natalie ran eagerly to where Mrs. Norton was working in her yard. "Yes, yes," they said together. "She's a gold-colored cat named Butterscotch. Did you see her?" No, Mrs. Norton said slowly. Not a cat. But Friday night, just as it was getting dark, I saw a little brown and white dog running down the street, barking his head off. Jenny felt her bottom lip quiver. That was Shorty. He chased Butterscotch away. Did you see a big truck about the same time? Natalie asked. Yes, Mrs. Norton said slowly. A big yellow one. It didn't hit your pet, did it? No, Jenny said, but we haven't seen my cat since then. I'm sorry, Mrs. Norton said kindly. I didn't even see a cat, just the dog. Thank you anyway, Jenny forced herself to say before Natalie tugged on her arm. Come on, Jenny, she said. Let's go put up the rest of these posters. Someone must have seen Butterscotch. By the time they finished putting up posters around the neighborhood, it was time for supper. Jenny said goodbye to Natalie and walked home slowly. Her mother called to her through the kitchen window. No luck, huh? Well, cheer up, sweetheart. Maybe someone will recognize her from the poster and call. And I put an ad in the paper today saying that she was missing. Jenny brightened. You did? Her mom nodded. Yes, I did. Oh, and Jenny, have you prayed about Butterscotch yet? Yes, Jenny said. But we could pray again. Her mother knelt down on the kitchen floor and Jenny knelt down beside her. Dear Heavenly Father, her mother prayed, we know that you care for all your creatures. Please be with Butterscotch wherever she is. Keep her safe and help her to find her way home if it's your will. Amen. Jenny stood up and hugged her mom. God was watching over Butterscotch. He would take care of her. Suddenly she was hungry. Thanks, Mom. What are we having for supper? I'm starved. Her mom leaned over the oven. We're having gravy and biscuits. Jenny didn't hear her. Gravy and what? Biscuits, Mom said in a loud voice. Then a voice answered her from outside the window. Arf, arf! Jenny froze. Oh, no.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 3, Jenny's Cat-Napped Cat. Written by Celeste Perino Walker, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.